Hello and welcome to the APA podcast. Today is August 17th, and we are talking with our head credit analyst, Paul Nolan. We're going to discuss certain credit issues in the market today. But first, I'd like to go ahead and get some compliance things out of the way. The material presented in this podcast is not financial advice or an offer to sell any product. These are our opinions, and it should not be assumed that any of these security transactions, holdings, or sectors discussed will prove to be profitable. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, first question that I have for Paul pertains to a major issue that we've seen in our muni market recently, and that's Stockton, California. Paul, why don't you discuss a little bit about what went on in Stockton and the implications?
Thank you, Kevin. Municipal investors have been concerned recently with recent headlines of not only Stockton, but also Harrisburg and Jefferson County. And along with Stockton recently, the city of Mammoth Lakes and San Bernardino have also entered bankruptcy protection. This has led investors to believe that there's an increasing threat of municipal bankruptcies. And while the California bankruptcy filings are historic, the diversity and differences in the $3.7 trillion muni market still attract prudent investors. Now, the city of Stockton is the largest U.S. city to seek bankruptcy court protection from creditors. However, it was broadcast to investors and us at APA long ago, and we believe these and the other filings that were mentioned are not reflective of the municipal market as a whole and have had actually little impact on the trading of municipal bonds.
Paul, I think the biggest question here is why. Why did Stockton, California get in this situation?
Well, there's two main reasons. Too much debt and very extensive pension benefit plans. And when you have that much debt that they were carrying, $700 million in outstanding debt, and Proposition 13, which limited their ability to increase property taxes, coupled with the housing bust that occurred in Stockton, in parts of California, other parts of the country, you have fewer dollars. And where your expenses are going up, your revenue is going down, there was really no other choice for the city of Stockton to file for bankruptcy. And we here at APA saw that coming, and it was the perfect storm, actually, the story of Stockton.
So Prop 13, does that affect other cities and counties in California?
It definitely will, and it's why we here at APA have been very selective in purchasing bonds issued by California municipalities. Again, by limiting their ability to increase property taxes, it limits the pot of money they have available to pay their expenses, and more importantly, for a bond investor to pay the bonds. So we've been pretty negative on California and highly selective for about well over 10 years. And we've limited our exposure to California credits.
I mean, would you feel right now that the state of California is a better credit than some small A1, A+, or AA credit that's county or city in California?
I would, yeah, the state itself, yes. But what we're talking about, Kevin, is more of your local issue, particularly your school districts and your small cities, or even your large cities like Stockton, because, again, they are limited to the amount that they can raise revenue, and they've got these pretty extensive pension plans and other post-employment benefits that is hindering their ability to run government effectively with too few dollars chasing too many expenses.
Well, let's change the subject a little bit here, and let's talk about an article that was printed in the Wall Street Journal that expressed concern over municipal buyers buying way too many hospital credits and saying that the market has too much demand and not enough supply and has pushed rates in, and that people are taking a lot more risk on by buying hospital bonds. What do you have to say about that?
Well, we've been talking about hospital bonds for quite a while here at APA. We actually think that they are underrated by the rating agencies. Again, you have an essential service in a hospital. We here at APA look for hospitals that have strong market share, good credit fundamentals such as large amount of days cash, good debt service coverage, profitable and operating margins that are positive, and a trend of positive profit and operating margins, and low debt levels. That's what we look for at APA. So to say that hospital bonds are not a good buy, are not a good sector for an investor, I think is false. I think investors should be looking at hospital bonds, again, if they do their due diligence.
How do you feel that Obamacare, that now that it's gotten through the Supreme Court and it's going to stay with us, does that help or hurt hospitals?
I think in terms of trading, it's had little impact. And Kevin, you could probably talk a little bit about that. But from a credit perspective, I think it will benefit hospitals in that the idea is that more people will have insurance, it will reduce the amount of charity care. Now, it does create problems with getting paid for Medicare and Medicaid, because there's going to be a bundling of payments, and you may run into a situation where you're a hospital where you're waiting for payments to come in, because again, they're bundling them to where you may have operations slowed a little bit. But again, because we look at hospitals with large amounts or positive and good days cash on hand, they'll be able to weather through this storm. And I think the key that it really does is it eliminates the uncertainty for hospitals. And we're anticipating this. We've talked to hospital administrators throughout the country, and we've been told that they've been planning for this, and they're actually glad that the decision came out, because now it allows them to plan even more, and they're prepared for it.
How do you feel about Illinois and New Jersey right now? We talked about California. How do you feel about Illinois and New Jersey?
I think they're two different cases. Illinois, very selective on, for the very reason is you've got these retirement benefits similar to Stockton, to where Illinois, when they raise their income, their personal income taxes, they also increase expenses. You have a different leadership in New Jersey. You've got a very strong governor who is somewhat anti-government, low tax. In addition, you've got a lot of wealth in that it's tied directly to New York City. It's so obviously it's right next to New York City. I think they're two very different states. They both have very high debt levels, and the difference is management. We feel that the management, particularly with Governor Christie, he's taking on the unions, he's taking on the expenses, he's looking at it as a whole. Where in Illinois, we just feel that state, because of its extremely high debt levels and very poor performing finances, it's a state that we are highly selective in. And New Jersey, same thing.
So we've talked about Illinois and New Jersey. What are your thoughts on New York?
New York is a state we're very positive on. The main reason is with New York, the pension system is very well funded, very well run. It's been upwards of 95-96% for years. It's very well run. The state is very well run. They've been through these financial crises before in the 70s and 80s and 90s and 2000s. And they're very well run. And you don't have, you have a strong governor in Cuomo. So a state on the positive side that we're very positive on is New York.
Okay, before we end the podcast, Paul, is there anything that has come up of a credit concern to you since our last podcast?
Well, I think a positive, Kevin, is the SEC releasing their report on the municipal market. A few weeks ago, they came out with nearly 2 years of work with multiple public hearings, including testimony from myself in Birmingham last August. They also received written comments from various market participants, again, on the municipal market. It was a 165-page report, and in essence what they did is they asked the Congress to get additional oversight powers in regulating the municipal market. And I think it's really a step in the right direction by changing the regulatory market and establishing concrete best practices recommendations for improving financial disclosure. And
so to put that into layman terms, you're saying that the SEC might be requiring some of these smaller and local cities to issue financials on a more consistent basis.
That's exactly what they asked for. They asked for essentially 15 key points. I won't talk about all 15, but I think the key provisions that were announced and brought out by the SEC were they're requesting Congress to grant the SEC more authority in establishing it, and the key here is enforceable disclosure standards for municipal issuers. They've also asked the Congress to authorize the SEC to establish, quote, the form and content of financial statements. And as you mentioned, they are requiring that municipal issuers file audited financial statements with the SEC on a more timely basis.
So when you're doing your credit analysis now on certain credits, do you have trouble getting financials from certain local cities and counties?
It depends on the sector and the size. So yes, there are times when it's very difficult to find information. I think the sector that we would point to as being the model, and I testified to this in front of the SEC, would be the healthcare sector. You can find multiple data, and I think you can find multiple information, up-to-date quarterly statements from hospitals. And again, talking with financial administrators at hospitals, they were convinced that it benefits them by disclosing this information. It shows they're not trying to hide anything, and it opens up to investors.
So you're saying that the hospitals issue financials more frequently than smaller counties and cities?
Yes, quarterly basis. You can almost always find quarterly financial statements for a hospital. You're lucky if on a small school district that maybe hasn't been to market in a few years, and the bond comes through in the secondary market, you're lucky if you can find an audit 2 years ago sometimes. The sector where it's really difficult, which we don't own a lot of, is the land secured deals. Very difficult to find, and that's where a lot of defaults are occurring. CCRC market is another good one with regards to disclosure. I think that's also a model. Tons of information available on CCRCs. But again, on your smaller, infrequent issuers, it can often be very frustrating to find out information on an issuer.
Well, thank you, Paul. And I wanted to state real quick that if you have any questions, any of these issues or any other issues, and you'd like us to talk about in these podcasts or even answer your questions on the phone, please feel free to give us a call here at APA. Also, we have a lot of other market commentaries and white papers on our website, which is www.apabonds.com. And we want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to this podcast.